Team Mubaraka to all of you. Inshallah ta'ala, we are going to continue on our journey, endeavoring to strengthen our relationship with the Quran. And for this lesson today alone, I'm going to depart slightly from the Ihya. We'll come back to that tomorrow. And inshallah ta'ala, read more of the remaining parts of the Kitab Adab Tilawat al-Quran. Today I wanted to go into a little bit more detail and talk about what was called a tafsir al-ishari, an elusive interpretation. And in general, that a tafsir that is based upon transmission, tafsir bil-ma'thur, and then you have a tafsir bil-ra'i, which you could translate as a scholarly interpretation. And then you have what is called a tafsir al-ishari. It's an elusive interpretation. It's an implied or indirect reference to an inner meaning or even a more esoteric meaning. And of course, the ulama have given conditions, as we will see, for a valid tafsir ishari. And then on another hand, it's a type of tafsir bil-ra'i in a sense, but it tends to be that implied or indirect. So it could also be considered in that category. And then inshallah ta'ala, we will get back to Imam Ghazali's treatment of the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about man fassara al-Quran bi ra'yi, whoever explains the Quran or interprets the Quran with his opinion. And so that the definition that they give for the tafsir al-ishari is as follows: huwa ta'wilu ayat al-Quran ala ma'na ghayr ma yadhhar minha bi muqtada ishara khafiya تظهر لألباب السلوك يمكن الجمع بينهما بين الظاهر بين ظاهر المراد. So it is to interpret verses of the Quran al-Kareem in a particular way that is not restricted to its literal meaning by virtue of a subtle ishara, indication, an allusion that comes to the heart of the Arbab al-Suluk, the possessors of pure hearts who are upon a path of spiritual wayfaring, and that you can join or between that particular understanding and between the outward meaning. And so that this is not something that is new. This is something that took place from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the following story is a story that takes place with Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was the tarjuman al-Quran, the interpreter of the Quran, and some of the shuyukh, some of the elders that fought in the Battle of Badr. So in this story, and Sayyidina Umar, as we know, used to be very intelligent, and sometimes he would do certain things for other reasons that people weren't necessarily aware of. And in this case, he wanted people to know the great stature of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas so that they could take from him and benefit from him. And so he comes into the presence, and he's with some of the ashaykh of Badr, some of the elders that fought in the Battle of Badr, some of the great companions. And some of them said, why did they bring this young man? Because Abdullah ibn Abbas was still young at the time. Why did he bring this young man here with us? And that it would come clear when Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, that he asked, what do you all say about the verse, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصَرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, in Surah Al-Nasr, when Allah Ta'ala says, when the victory of Allah and the opening comes, and you see people entering into the deen of Allah in hordes to the end of, until he finished the surah, فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ, that, so, until the end of the surah. And then, that they just said the outward meaning of the verse, which is great. They said, we've been commanded to praise Allah and to seek His forgiveness if we've been given victory or if we receive an opening. And that some of them said, لَا نَدْرِي أَوْ لَمْ يُقُلْ بَعْدُمْ شَيْئًا, or some of them either said, we don't know, or they didn't say anything. And then that Sayyidina Umar said to Ibn Abbas, يَا Ibn Abbas, أَكَذَلِكَ تَقُولْ, is this what you say? And then Ibn Abbas said, no. قال فما تقول, what do you say? قلت هو أجر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, i.e. this verse indicates the imminence of the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, "أعلم الله له إذا جاء نصر الفتح فتح مكة فذاك علامة أجلك." Allah was letting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam know that when the Fath of Mecca happens, and i.e. that these verses are referring to the Fath of Mecca, the opening of Mecca, he said, then this is the sign of your that your appointed term is near. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. So glorify the praises of your Lord, إِنْهُ كَانَ تَوَابًا, indeed that he is ever forgiving. And then Omar says, مَا أَعْلَمُ مِنْهَا إِلَّا مَا تَعْلَمُ. I only know what you know about this. This is what I know about this verse. And it's not denying the outward meaning. But what this story teaches us is that the likes of Ibn Abbas had another understanding. The outward meaning is there, but he understand something deeper. He understood that an ishara, something that was indicated by the verse, that not everyone else would necessarily pick up on. It would require someone who is adept in interpretation of the Quran, and of course could, that had a pure heart to receive meanings. And we should keep in mind that when Allah Ta'ala says, لا يمسو إلا المطهرون, is that only those who are pure will touch it. Outwardly that relates to holding the Mus'haf in a state of wudu. Inwardly, touching the meanings with your heart. Touching the meanings with your heart. The prerequisite of that is that you be in a state of purity. Is that your heart be pure to have access to those meanings. And so, this is a type of tafsir that existed even in the earlier period. And the bad rap that the tafsir al-Ishari sometimes has gotten is because of people's misunderstandings, where people think that when they point to this meaning, this inner meaning, or this elusive interpretation, that somehow it conflicts with the outward meaning. And as we will see, this is one of the prerequisites that it indeed does not conflict with the outward meaning. And the group called the Bataniyah, the Batanites, the way they went astray is where they said is that the outward meaning wasn't intended to begin with. And they believe the inward meaning was the only meaning and the primary meaning. The primary meaning and the only meaning. And according to one of the interpretations of the hadith that we mentioned yesterday about the Quran having a dhahr and a batn, an outward dimension and inward dimension, a had, a limit, and a matla or a muttala, or a rising point or a vantage point, according to some interpretations, some of these these in some ways could refer to and open up the door for this type of interpretation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And so the scholars then mention four conditions for the acceptance of a tafsir al-Ishari. So for an elusive interpretation to be valid, there must be four conditions. And he says, the first is, أَلَا يَتَنَافَ مَا يَظْهَرْ مِنْ مَعْنَى النَّظَمِ الْكَرِيمِ. And so there is no disagreement with the plain meaning of the verse. Okay, so there's no, it doesn't contradict the meaning. Okay, and so that, for instance, if someone would understand from the words of Allah Ta'ala, وَعْبُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتِيَقَ الْيَقِينَ. Okay, that worship your Lord until certainty comes to you. So then someone would say that no, okay, once that the hatta here is the harf ghaya, once I attain certainty, I no longer have to worship. A'udhu billah, right? That we completely reject that, because that goes against the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That goes against what we believe in the Sharia and what we are taught to believe by way of creed, is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that followed the Sharia until the day he met his Lord, and this is an obligation upon everyone. It's not a matter of worshiping until you reach a certain stage and receive an opening, and then you can stop. A'udhu billah, that's heresy to believe that. We believe you have to worship Allah حَتَّى يَتَيْكَ الْيَقِينِ, until certainty comes to you, i.e. death. You have to worship till death comes to you. So if you would that describe and explain certainty here as an opening, that would be incorrect if you mean by that then you stop. Okay, and that of course we know that if you do worship, and that you worship sincerely, you might receive an opening, and you might become from the awliya, hatta uhibba, and become beloved to Allah Ta'ala. But at that point, it doesn't mean that you leave your worship. It doesn't mean you leave everything you did to get up there. You have to keep that until you die. So this is an example of an invalid tafsir ishara. If you mean by that that you're just worshiping in order to attain an opening and then you no longer have to worship. So the first is that it not be incongruous with the outward meaning. And the second condition is Allah yudda'a annahu al-murad wahdu dun al-dhahr. You don't claim that the inner meaning, the elusive interpretation, is the only intended meaning of the verse. No, that you recognize is that verses have a multitude of meanings. They have different ways of understanding some. There's dimensions of meanings. And the outward has an outward meaning, and it has to align with the inward meaning. And then the inward meaning has an inward meaning, however, that you don't claim that the inward meaning is the only meaning. And the third is that Allah yukun ta'wilan ba'idan sakhifan. And so is that that it not be that the meaning of what it is that you're interpreting is sound in and of itself. So it can't just be some far-fetched meaning that is not sound. So for instance, when Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut, وَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed that Allah is with لَمُنْ مُزَهْلَقَ, that's on the ma', the with, those who show ihsan, the people of excellence. And so that if someone tried to make the word lama'a a fi'l maldi, like lama'a means to gleam. So in Allah, lama'a al-muhsineen. That's an invalid interpretation. Because here, that lama'a is not a word that is transitive. It can't have a maf'ul bihi. It means just to simply gleam. So that's an incorrect usage. So that lam there cannot be a verb that's a part of like lama'a from the verb. It has to be a particle. Lama'a al-muhsineen. Okay, and then the fourth condition is Allah yukun lahum ma'ad al-shar'i aw aqli. And so there can't be anything in the sharia or anything according to that rational thinking that conflicts with it. So if any interpretation that's a tafsir shari conflicts with the sharia or conflicts with the aql, then it can't be a valid interpretation. And I mentioned that there's four, but then they sometimes point to a fifth. And yukunahu shahad shari yu'ayyiduhu, is that there are foundational meanings in the sacred law that also point to a similar meaning. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the one that came before it. So with those conditions, though, you can have an acceptable interpretation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, of a meaning that is indicated, i.e. it's a tafsir ishari, it's an elusive interpretation. And there are, from the tafsir literature, certain tafsir that have these types of meanings in them. For instance, the tafsir al-Alusi is one of them. The tafsir of Imam al-Sulami is one of them. The tafsir of Imam al-Tustari is another one. There's a tafsir of Imam al-Qushayri, Lata'if al-Isharat. So there are different tafsir that they mention that contain these meanings. And then we will just mention a few examples here. Now, so for instance, in إِنَّهُ لَا قُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ, and that indeed that it is a noble Qur'an. One of the righteous said about this is that what is the meaning of karam here? So normally we think of it as the noble Qur'an, which is definitely a valid meaning. فَأَجَابْ, this scholar said, بِأَنَّ مَعْنَا كَرَمَ الْقُرْآنِ هُوَ كِنَاءً كَثْرَةِ مَا يُعْطِي مِنَ الْعُلُومِ, meaning that the Qur'an is also kareem in terms of all of the different knowledge that it gives when you approach it and you reflect upon it. Okay. And then others mentioned, then this is from Umar bin Abdurus bin Aydurus al-Habshi, in relation to the words of Allah, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكُونَ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything is perishing. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكُ. Everything is perishing, إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. And the primary meaning is that except His countenance, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is perishing. And then another meaning of the wajh here is not the meaning that normally we think of it as the countenance of Allah, wajhullah. But wajh could also refer to a thing, an aspect of the thing. So he says here, inna kulli shay'in lahu wajhan, wajhun lil haqq wa wajhun lil khalq. Everything has a direction. It's directed towards Allah and directed towards creation. He said that the direction of that thing that is towards creation is definitely perishing, right? He says is that that which is directed towards Allah remains. So when you do a good deed, and the aspect of that good deed that stems from your sincerity, even though that good deed goes, what remains is that sincerity of that good deed, i.e. the reward that you get for it after, because it was for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Other, i.e. the direction of that thing towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, i.e. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accepting that from you and preserving that for you. And then another example that is from in the words of Allah Ta'ala, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتِ. And you translate as, remember your Lord when you forget. And one meaning of that is the obvious meaning, that if you fall into a state of heedlessness, remember Allah. Another meaning of that is, A, أَنَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ مَا سِوَى رَبَّكْ ذَكَرْتَ رَبَّكْ دُرُورَةً إِذْ لَا مَانِئْ مِنْ رُؤِيْتِهِ وَشُهُدِي إِلَّا سِوَى. Another meaning of that is وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. And remember your Lord when you have forgotten. So in other words, true remembrance comes when you've forgotten everything else. And so you're not pulled by the siwa, everything other than Allah, towards it, where your heart is in the state of remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So it's a higher meaning. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Remember your Lord, you're really remembering your Lord when you've forgotten all else. And similar is relation in Surah Taha, وَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. And so here, you could translate that, that could refer to لِذِكْرِي, so that you can remember me, ذِكْرِي. ذِكْر is remembrance, ri, my remembrance. But you could also that say, وَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance, i.e. my remembrance of you. So to be mentioned by Allah is higher than being us mentioning Him. And we should still mention Him, but that meaning is possible. And Allah says in the Prophet narrates in a hadith Qudsi, مَنْ ذَكَرِ فِي نَفْسِي ذَكَرْتُ فِي نَفْسِي. Whoever mentions me in his self, I will mention him. And there are other examples that they give. And Ibn Abbas was known to also interpret the verse in Surah Al-Shu'ara, وَتُقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ, and you're moving about in the loins of those prostrating. There's an outward meaning dimension to that. But then the inner meaning there is that he took it as a proof of the purity of the Prophet's lineage. The fact that you moved about in the loins of Sajideen, they were prostrate, i.e. monotheists who worshipped Allah in the most pure of all lineages, back to that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are just examples, and there are many more that could be given. But the key is here is that this is a part of our tradition, and there's conditions, and the way that we access the inward in our deen is from the outward. We access the inward from the outward. And this is why some of them say that the matla or the muttala, the rising point, which indicates inspiration, or the muttala, which indicates a vantage point, is from the vantage point of the outward, do we have access to the inward? And so anything that contradicts the outward aspects of our deen has to be rejected. But if we put the outward in its place, and someone strives through worship and reflection, and Allah inspires someone with an additional meaning, this is something that the ulama have accepted, and with the conditions that were mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and give us openings in His book, Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, and bless us to finish Ramadan strongly in the very best of ways, and give us tawfiq in all of our affairs. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.